Many of you know that many churches are preaching things today that ought not to be preached. It's not just in the lower classes in the church, it's from the pulpit. Things are being taught that ought not to be taught. And today we're going to talk about those things because it's extremely important you understand these things. We're going to stand and honor God as we read together 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They'll secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when they brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example for what's going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. For if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from the trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with the harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without waters. They mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred commandment that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Heavenly Father, as we look at this today, we're not happy about what's going on in many churches around this country today and around the world. But Lord, it has to be revealed so that we can protect ourselves and our families. Give us the wisdom to know what is true and what is not true according to your word. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and boys and girls, go down to children's church if you'd like.
Wish I was going.
Man, headlights and all. It's going to be fun. An article in a news magazine just a few years ago was entitled High-Tech Counterfeiting. And the article went on to say that the American dollar is the most counterfeited dollar in the world, because up until just the last few years, the American dollar was the dollar that was used for almost every transaction between countries. Now, that's beginning to change. I don't know if you know it or not, but petrodollars, the dollars that are being paid for the oil that's being shipped around the world, they're no longer using dollars. Why? Well, it could have something to do with the fact that we're $17 trillion in debt. The American dollar is failing, whether you know it or not. We'll be talking more about that a little later, but I want to encourage you, don't put too much trust in your bank or your bank account or your Social Security or your retirement. Things are changing, and they're changing so fast that the average person doesn't even know what's going on yet. Things are going to start falling quickly, and you better be on your guard. This nation is in trouble because we've forsaken God. God is doing exactly what he said he would do to any nation that forsakes him. He's beginning to forsake us as a nation. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the nation overall. U.S. banknotes accounted for a few years ago approximately 80% of all the counterfeit money in the world. The U.S. dollar used to be fairly easy to copy. It took a very skilled printer to do it, but they could make money that looked almost identical to the money that was in your wallet. And then a few years ago, many of you know that they began to put things into the dollar that were much more difficult to copy. And for a few years, that pretty much stopped it. But now with the printers we have today, even an unskilled individual can copy the money and make it look almost identical to the $100 bill or the $20 bill you have in your wallet. And so counterfeiting is going on. It's just a little more difficult. The word counterfeit means not to have the real thing. And today I want to talk about counterfeiting, but I don't want to talk so much about counterfeit dollar bills as counterfeit teaching in the churches that people go to. Sometimes it's just one or two individuals in the church teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes it's right from the pulpit that things are being taught that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among the people," that's talking about the people of Israel, "just as there will be false teachers among you," that's talking about the church. False teaching came into the church right after Christ's death. False teaching, they fought it all the way through with people saying, you have to keep the law of Moses, and you have to do all the things that Moses said, or you can't be saved. Acts 15 is all about that. Acts 15, the apostles gave the answer to that. But you need to know your Bible, because people are still teaching today, in order to be saved, you must keep the law. Folks, those things have not gone away. They're still being taught. So, everyone, there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So today we're going to look at this matter of counterfeit teaching, counterfeit Christians, counterfeit preachers and teachers, and today we still have people that claim to be prophets. They're getting new revelation from God. All these things are going on in churches all across our country, and you need to know how to protect yourself and to protect your family, because they're very skillful at what they do. Counterfeit money, many people will go to a store hand over the $20 bill with full confidence it's out of my wallet. They paid me with this. It's got to be good. Only to find out it's not good. It's a counterfeit. Counterfeits are good at what they do. Counterfeit Christians and counterfeit preachers and teachers become very cunning in the way they do it. The Bible, speaking about prophets, this was such a high office in Israel and in the church in the early days up until the apostles died, that if a prophet spoke something in the name of the Lord and it didn't come to pass, that prophet was to be stoned. Take a look with me at Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in my name or in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be alarmed. In our time, Oral Roberts, many of you remember, you've seen him on TV. Oral Roberts said to the nation, our whole nation, if you will supply the money, I will build the Hospital of Hope. And I think he said, like 6 years, we'll have the cure to cancer. Well, 6 years came and went, and guess what? No cure to cancer. Folks, what should have happened to him? I didn't write it. All I'm telling you is you need to be careful with people today who are claiming to be prophets, who are speaking new revelation out to their churches, because in all honesty, the best I can understand the scriptures, the office of prophet stopped after the apostles. You may see it different. You can believe whatever you want, but I'm very, very skeptical of modern day prophets. I believe the Bible says we have all we need for life and godliness in the Word of God. I don't need somebody to speak something new. I just want to understand what's already been spoken. So, false prophets and true prophets. They were, at one time, true prophets. In 2 Peter 2:1 again, it says, but there were also false prophets. There were true prophets also who spoke for God. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. What Peter is saying is, in the pulpits, from the very founding of the church, all the way until the Lord comes back, there are going to be false teachers, and you have to identify them. Remember when it talked about the Christians at Berea? I think it was Berea, where he said they were more noble than the ones up in Antioch because they searched the scriptures every day to see if what the Apostle Paul said was true or not. Folks, that's what you and I have to do. We have to compare any teaching we get from any pastor, any doctor, any bishop, I don't care what their title is, but you have to go home and you have to compare it with Scripture. If it matches Scripture, you're getting good teaching. But if it doesn't match, you're getting a counterfeit, whether you know it or not. As I mentioned, these guys are very, very cunning. False prophets in religion have been in existence from the time that Satan spoke to Eve, did God really say? And then Eve was deceived, and her husband listened to Eve about the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and they both ate. That was because of false teaching. And we need to be careful because Christianity today is split up. In fact, all religions are quite split. You know, we've got the Buddhist and the Hindus and the Islam and Satanism, because Satanism is a real religion, whether you know it or not. And some schools now are starting to have Satan clubs in the schools. It's unbelievable. But then you add Christianity to the mix. And then you look at Christianity, and you've got Roman Catholicism, you've got Orthodox Catholicism, You've got the Protestants, and then we split the Protestants all up. We've got the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Free Methodists and the Nazarene. You got just a plethora of different faiths, but forgetting all that, you know, there's really only two religions. There's the true religion that follows God and His Word, and there's false religions that don't follow God and His Word. And so it makes it much simpler. In 2 Peter 2:1 again, because this is the foundation, but there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be, and so you have to acknowledge, this is going on today, and it will continue. There will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. That word, among you, is talking about the churches. Do we have to guard this church against heresy? You better believe it. Because there are people who come who want to teach something totally different than what the Word of God says. And it's the job of the pastor and the deacons and the elders in this church to say, no, you can't do that here. The problem with so many is they want to go along to get along. This is a really important person who wants to teach this thing here, and we hate to lose his money and his fellowship, and so we're going to let him teach whatever he wants. No, we're not. We don't need their money. We don't need their being here. If they're teaching false doctrine, they're not going to do it here. And it causes division, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it's amazing what people today believe and are teaching, and what people without any searching of the Scriptures just go along with. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he says, but I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. What he's saying is the church at Corinth had all kinds of false doctrine going on. They were teaching the greatest gift is the gift of tongues. That was number one. And the Bible always puts the gift of tongues at the very least of all the spiritual gifts. But they liked the showiness of it. And so they had special things that they would teach about speaking in tongues. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. He says, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. False teachers may have the name Dr. So-and-so. They may have the name bishop or pastor or teacher. You can go down a whole list of different things they claim for themselves. But what the Bible is saying is, if you teach false doctrine, damnation is waiting. And you're going to lead a lot of other people astray at the same time. So they don't know the Lord, yet they put themselves up as a spokesman for the Lord. We need to be careful with this. The teaching will be destructive heresies. One more time, we're going to look at 2 Peter 2:1 because it's so important you understand this verse. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. It divides. Now, I want to tell you how this works, because Satan is very, very deceptive. The person comes into the church. They have a doctrine that this particular church doesn't believe at all, and they want to teach. Well, we always like to have new teachers in the church, so we like Sunday school teachers. We try to encourage them along. But then all at once you find out they're teaching Jesus Christ isn't God. What do you do? Folks, you have to tell them they can no longer teach. They can't teach here that stuff because it divides. And what they will claim is, you're the one causing division. But you're not. They came into a church full knowledge of what the church believes, but they want to teach something different. There's been so many church splits I can tell you about over the years because of that. The pastor and the elder board try to stand up and say, no, we don't believe that. It's not according to the word of God. You will not teach that here. And instead of just going quietly, they make a big fuss and they make it look like the elder board is the one causing the division, and they're not. It's a brand new doctrine. It's like two little boys that are upstairs fighting, and mom goes up to find out what the problem is. And she says, Tommy, what started this? He said, well, mom, it all started when Billy hit me back. Well, who did he hit first? Tommy hit first, and Billy's just defending himself. When did it really start? It started when Tommy hit his little brother, and then it breaks loose. Folks, we need to be careful with this because we don't want to split our churches, but we do want to say there are some doctrines you can't teach. You can't teach that a true Christian can lose their salvation. You can't teach that here. You can't teach that you have to keep the law here. We do not believe that. We believe in Christ, we've been set free from the deeds of the law. Now, we're not saying we're lawless. We're saying, though, I can eat pork if I want to. I don't have to worship on a Saturday if I don't choose to. Folks, you're free in Christ, but that freedom does not include heresies. Martin Luther, one of the starters of the Reformation, they wanted him to recant what he had said. And this is what Martin Luther said. Now, I don't agree with everything the Lutheran Church teaches, but there are many good Lutheran churches that still preach the gospel just as clear as any Baptist church. I can tell you that. Martin Luther said, I do not want to know anything of peace and concord when the word of God is thereby lost, and the word eternal life and everything else is forfeited. It's not right for me here to draw back and to give out of love toward you or toward any other man, but before the word, everyone must give way. We believe in this church the word of God is the foundation for truth, not what Dr. So-and-so says, not what some modern-day prophet says. What saith the Lord in the word of God? The Bible is not untrue because there are false prophets. The Bible said there were going to be false prophets. If there weren't false prophets today, we'd say, well, what's wrong with the Bible? It said there'd be false prophets. Everybody teaches the same thing. I want to tell you, everybody doesn't teach the same thing. All kinds of crazy doctrines. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So how do you spot a false prophet? How can you know when you go into any church, is the gospel being preached? Is the doctrine true? Are they teaching me so that I can teach my children the right way to go? Because this is extremely, extremely important. There are five tests I want to take you through briefly. Any church you go into, I don't care if it's Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, it doesn't matter. These tests will prove out so that you can identify the true from the false. So number one, the source test. This test examines the basis of the teaching. What's the foundation of what they're teaching to me and my children? Do they have a revelation or a foundation other than the Bible? Because many churches do. The Bible is kind of over there, but this is what we believe, and this is our doctrine. Even though you can show them very clearly from the Word of God, that's not what it says. It doesn't matter, because this is the doctrine of the church. Folks, when the doctrine of the church is different than the doctrine found in the Bible, that church is teaching false things. And you have to be able to identify that. When you have a Mormon come to your door, and Mormons used to call a lot more than they do now, but when a Mormon would come to your door, you would say, do you believe the Bible? And they would say, yes, we do. But we also believe in Joseph Smith and the prophets. You see, you've got two foundations then. You don't have just one foundation, the Word of God. Now they say Joseph Smith's teachings are superior to the Bible. You've got a problem. We're either going to go with the Bible or we're not. In Revelations 22:18, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. We don't change the Word of God. We don't add something else to the Word of God. The worship test. This is extremely important. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the virgin-born Son of God, co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father? If a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, the question you want to ask him, and stick to this, is Jesus Christ God and do you worship him? I just want to give you kind of the discourse you're going to have if you try that. They will answer, we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you can say, well, that's good, because they do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But do you worship him? Well, we give praise and honor to the Lord. That's a good answer, but it's not the answer to the question. Do you worship Jesus Christ? They'll say, we reverence him. Okay, one more time. Do you worship Jesus Christ? And they're going to say eventually, no, we don't. Because they do not believe he's God. They believe he's the Son of God, but they believe he was the created angel, Michael. That's what they believe. They do not believe he's sovereign God who created everything. Although John 1:1-3 says that he did create everything, they don't believe it. The Bible teaches only one God should be worshipped. In Exodus 34:14, it says, do not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. But our Lord Jesus received worship on his earthly life here over and over and over, and he never rejected it. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Now, you can't worship any God except Jehovah God. So if Jesus is not Jehovah, the Jehovah's Witnesses are right. You shouldn't worship him. But if he is Jehovah, you should worship him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said unto him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so even Jesus agreed. You only worship God. You don't worship anybody else. In Matthew 8, verse 2, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. When you kneel down to somebody, you are worshiping them. That's what it's about. In Matthew 9, verse 18, when he spoke this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If Jesus is not God, what should he have told the 11 disciples when they worshiped him? The same thing the angel said, don't worship me. I'm just God's servant. Worship God. But because Jesus is God, we do worship him. And so any group that says that Jesus is not to be worshiped, that he's not Jehovah God, is false teaching. Mark it down. Number three, the subject test. What's the primary teaching of the group that you're going to? The primary teaching should be always the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in order to know God the Father, you have to come through God the Son. If you don't go through God the Son, you don't have a relationship with the Father. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the foundation. If a church is stressing anything else other than that foundational truth, you've got a problem. And it's extremely important you understand that. In the Old Testament, it wrote about Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 5:39, he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. You see, the primary thing you have to get out of the Old Testament is that God is going to send his son. He's the one that created everything. He's the one we need to worship. The subject has to be not seed faith. So many churches today are teaching seed faith giving. If you give $100, the Lord's going to give you $1,000. I've heard that so many times. Folks, that is not true. What God promises is as you give to his work, whether it's to your local church or to the neighbor kid down the road, as you give to God's work, he's going to bless you. It doesn't mean he's going to return tenfold, a hundredfold. I went to an evangelistic meeting. This is just after I received the Lord. This was back 50 years ago. And the evangelist said, anybody that will give me $14, and I think it was 28 cents or 32 cents, something, one of those people is going to become a millionaire within a year. Folks, that's not the gospel. That's somebody making up a story so he gets enough of those $14, $20 deals. It's false teaching. You have to be able to identify it. Our primary thrust as a church should always be the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:8, the Apostle Paul said, but even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Folks, many churches are teaching you don't get to heaven through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You get to heaven by being a good person. You get to heaven by being baptized. You get to heaven by what you give to the church. That is all absolutely false, and you have to know that. That may seem harsh to you that we're putting this down, but it wouldn't seem so harsh to you if you went to a church like that, you followed all those rules all the years of your life, and you and your children get to judgment day and you see your children thrown into the lake of fire. Because that's what's going to happen. There are people that are going to churches. I went to a church in Saginaw, and it was a Baptist church. But they were teaching you would get to heaven by being a good person. And so I tried to be a good person until Pastor Williams came to my house and showed me the Bible. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I went, oops. That's the Bible, and that's what we ought to be teaching. The Savior test. This is the salvation test. Do they teach that salvation is by grace through faith alone, plus nothing? There are churches that say you cannot be saved unless you're baptized. Folks, that's false doctrine. Suppose you're out in the desert in the army and you're fighting a battle in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever, and you want to get saved. And you call for the chaplain, and the chaplain rushes over to you. What can I do for you, son or daughter? I need to receive Christ the Savior. What do I do? Well, I'm sorry, but we don't have any water here to baptize. You can't be saved. What about the thief on the cross? Did he get baptized after he believed? He did not. You don't have to be. You should be, but you don't have to be. Do you have to give money to the church? No, you don't have to give a penny to the church. You should, but you don't have to. If you've truly trusted Christ, do you have to attend every service of the church? No, you don't have to do that. That's all added stuff. Can you dance after you receive Christ as your Savior? Or won't you go to heaven if you dance? Folks, that's man-made stuff. Can you play cards? When I first got saved, I was told you ought not never to play cards. And then I searched the scriptures and I couldn't find it. If it's not in the scriptures, you're free. Don't let somebody put you into a bad situation. If they can show you in the scriptures what they're teaching is true, by all means, follow along. But if it's just a man-made rule, you don't have to follow that. In fact, Jesus, talking to the people of his day, said, you put aside the word of God for your tradition. We don't want traditions. We want the word of God as the foundation. In Romans 10:13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's not plus anything. If in your heart you truly call on the Lord as your Savior, you are going to be saved. Period. And if a church teaches anything other than that, it's not true. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ alone. And many churches do not teach that. You need to be able to identify that as a counterfeit. If they demand that you join the church or you can't be saved, that's not what the Bible says. If they demand that you sign a paper that you're going to tithe regularly, that's not what the Bible says. If they say you have to be baptized or we won't say you're saved, that's not what the Bible says. And you have to be able to tell. Then the sanctification test. Do you teach and are you endeavoring to live a holy life? Folks, many pastors are not living holy lives, not even trying to live holy lives. In fact, they're trying to get people into sin with them. In 1 Peter 1:15, it says, but just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I was sitting down yesterday at the funeral with the meal, and I talked to a young woman that said she went to a church, and when she went to that church, she was just a young girl, about 6 or 7, and her spiritual leader came to the house. And he was at the house talking to her dad. He was smoking cigarettes. He was drinking whiskey. And he was swearing like a foul-mouthed fool. And even at the age of 7, she said, something's wrong. Folks, if they're not living a godly life, they're going to lead you in the wrong direction. You ought to look at your teachers. You ought to look at your pastor and say, nobody's perfect. Don't get me wrong. But are they trying to live what God says to live? If they're not, you're going to head for real trouble. We have to uphold our teachers and our pastors if they're true to the Word of God, but you really ought to examine the life. We've got pastors today that are involved in homosexual marriages themselves, and they're bishops in churches. Folks, something's wrong. We've got pastors that are having affair after affair after affair, but it's all okay because they're such good speakers. Folks, that's not what you want. You want somebody for your children and for yourself that sets an example of godliness. So we identified by their message. Now, how do you identify by their method? In 2 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. In their greed, if you watch television evangelists, and I'm not saying they're all bad, there are some that are really good that you ought to follow, and you ought to follow what they say. But when you see a TV evangelist, and the people are bringing the money up, and they're pouring the money all over the stage, and they're dancing in the money and throwing the money in the air, whoa, praise God. You got a problem, friend, because they love money. It's not about God, and that's all over the place today. Many of our most famous evangelists today are living in $3-4 million houses. Something's wrong. We have to be able to see that. It says they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. We have to give the devil and his followers their due. They are very cunning. You will ask a pastor, you go to a new church, do you believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus? Oh, sure I do. Sure I do. Absolutely. We believe that here. But if you continue to question, you're going to find out that they believe in the bodily resurrection only in that his works continue on in us. They do not believe he rose bodily from the dead. And there are many, many churches that do that. It's called deception. It's called replacing reality with a myth. If you watch on television the beer ads, when you come to Bush, where do you head for? You head for the mountains. Man, this is what it's about. You get that Bush and you head for the mountains. It's wonderful. If you get Miller time, what's that about? It's all about young people having a wonderful time, just enjoying everything. They don't ever show some drunken old woman laying on the side of the road with flies all over her and vomit all over her. Because that's the end. We don't want you to look at the end. When I was a youth leader at Trinity in St. Charles, I used to take our youth group to the rescue mission. And you might say, why would you do that? Because I wanted to see the end of what happens when you're in alcohol and when you're in drugs. That's the end. You don't have any family. You don't have any means of support. You're relying on someone else for the basic necessities of life. That's where it takes you. Is it fun at first? Absolutely. Sin is fun for a season. But then you're going to reap the results. The Marlboro Man. Remember seeing him? Handsome, tall guy, suntan, big cowboy hat. But what about when the lungs fail because of smoking? What about when that man can't even grasp a breath of air? He went from 220 pounds to about 87 pounds. Folks, that's the end result. I saw my dad go through that. I saw my older brother go through that because of false, deceptive teaching. And I want to tell you who's in on it. Did you ever notice on cigarettes, it's Marlboro in big print, it's have a smoke, it's got menthol, and then in little teeny print on the back, what does it say? This could be injurious to your health, could possibly cause cancer. Do you know why that's in such small print? Your government makes money off the smoking. And although they feel it should be on there, we don't want it that big. We want it just small. Most people will never read it. Folks, the small print is important. I don't know if you know this or not. I may have said this a few weeks ago. I don't remember. But rat poison. The stuff you stick in your rat trap to catch rats. Do you know that it's 98% good grain? It's only 2% poison? But that 2% will kill you. Most of these evangelists that are teaching, you say, well, what he said there was right. Can't be wrong. What he said there was right. That's right. But then he teaches that if you don't give to this ministry, you're not going to heaven. Wait a minute. That's not right. And you have to be able to identify that. If you don't know the Word of God, that 2% is going to kill you, and it's going to kill your children. The Lord created marriage in Malachi 2, verses 15 and 16. We don't have it in there. But he created marriage so that a mother and dad could love the Lord and raise their children to love the Lord. That's what it's all about. And we have to get our children into a Sunday school that teaches the truth. They are not going to go to heaven unless they personally place their faith in Jesus Christ. Will they sin? Yes, they're going to sin. But if you live in sin, this is so important. This is what I tried to stress the other day at the funeral. If you can live in sin and stay in sin, you can say as much as you want to say, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. But if it doesn't change your heart, it doesn't change the way you live, you are not saved. You asked Jesus up here, but you didn't ask Jesus down here in the heart. So many people are going to miss heaven by about 13 inches from here to here. I've got the head knowledge. But it's not going to affect my getting drunk. It's not going to affect my using illegal drugs. It's not going to affect that I'm going to stop with pornography. It's not going to stop that I'm going to cheat on my wife or my husband. Those are my personal decisions. Yes, and those decisions will wind you up in the lake of fire. There has to be a change. You have to confess him as Lord. When you confess him as Lord, what does that mean? He's in charge now. I'm no longer in charge. He's in charge of my life. And if he's not in charge of your life, he's not your good shepherd. And he will not give you eternal life. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In Jude, verse 4, when Judah Let me read you Jude 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. There are pastors and churches that are teaching their people that adultery is okay. Anything goes. Because why? Christ's blood covers it all, you see. He loves you so much, you can live any way you want to, and if you just profess him as faith, that's all it takes. No. Because when it's in your heart, you're giving your life to the Lord. It isn't just words. It isn't just a thought. It's with my whole being, I want Jesus Christ to be Lord. And when he's Lord, you're not going to go out and commit adultery. You're not going to be stealing. You're not going to be lying. You're going to be living a godly life. Will you slip from time to time? Yes, you will. But what happens when a sheep slips into the mud? What does it do? Does it say, oh, this is great? No, it wants to get out. What happens when a pig slips into the mud? Man, I'm home. This feels just like what I've always wanted. Folks, there's a difference, and you have to identify that. They'll tell you you can do anything you want, and I'm going to tell you, there are churches right in our area that will teach you any way you live, God loves you. No matter what you do, God loves everybody. He would never send anybody to the lake of fire. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We who were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You don't have to live the old life you lived anymore. Jesus Christ will guide you step by step. There are people today that are calling themselves prophets and teachers and priests and doctor so-and-so that will lead you astray. Jesus says about those people in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The false prophets and teachers say, Lord, Lord, but they do not follow what he teaches. They don't even try to follow it. They think they're God and they're in charge and they can say and do anything they want and they're going to be just fine. It doesn't work that way. And people who follow them are not going to be saved. So you have to be careful with this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then God knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Folks, we need to be careful with this because we're warned in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and this is a warning I would give to everybody here today. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. How do you do that? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, would you help me examine my heart? Have I personally received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior? Am I walking in a way that's pleasing to you? Folks, he'll reveal it. He'll show you. No, you never received me as Savior. Look at what your life is like. Look at what you're believing. Look at what you're doing. If we don't examine ourselves, when we get to heaven, do you know it's too late? There's nothing you can do then. Right now, you can change the direction you're going. Right now, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right now, you can get into a good church where the Word of God is taught, and all this garbage is kept to the side because it's always trying to creep in. I don't care what church you go to, it's there. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and it's the last verse for today, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You won't find salvation anywhere else. It's found only in one person, and that's the seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you today to bless us. Father, help us to identify the false teaching so we can correct it, keep it out of our churches, keep it away from our children. Lord, Satan is very, very deceptive. And his followers are exactly the same. Father, we need to be in your word, studying your word so we can identify what's true from what's false. Bless and use us, and we're going to give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.